Hello, everybody. How are you today? I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's Good. We're taking It's All About Food to the campaign trail today. Why not? I know it's on a lot of people's mind, the things that are going on with our federal government, in particular here in the United States. A lot of us have high anxiety, and many of us are getting more active and more involved, and that's a good thing. But there's something we have to keep in mind. We have to stay energized. We have to stay healthy. And we are going to be talking about a new organization called Healthy Campaign, and I'm excited to be able to do that today. I have Annabelle Park with me, who is one of the campaign coordinators for Healthy Campaign. Annabelle is a progressive activist, a documentary filmmaker of 9500 Liberty and Story of America. Annabelle is the co-founder of the digital media company Indigo Light. She is a passionate advocate for immigrant rights, social justice, and democratic reform. She has launched several online communities, including The Coffee Party, Bridge the Divide, Facing Humanity, America Welcomes Refugees, and The Talk on Main Street. She studied philosophy and politics at Boston University and then at Oxford University. Since joining Healthy Campaign, the change in eating habits and diet has significantly improved her health. Let's hear more about that. Welcome, Annabelle, to It's All About Food.
Hi, Karen. Thanks so much for having me.
Hi. So I'm looking forward to talking to you. I wanted to know more about the Healthy Campaign because I am a friend and admirer of Marjorie Roswell, the founder of Healthy Campaign, and she wanted you to speak on her behalf about this program. So let's get started about that. Well, even before we talk about Healthy Campaign, you are an activist. You're like 110% activist. Is that correct?
All I know is that I try. I keep trying.
Yeah.
So, yes.
There are a lot more people that are getting involved today because we're getting scared about our freedom. Mm-hmm. And maybe some of us who had more freedoms than others are getting involved now because we feel like it's encroaching on more of us. I know that many other people have been struggling for a long time, even before this particular government took hold. Mm-hmm. And how long have you been an activist? Have you been in the trenches for most of your life? What's your story?
Yeah, I became a full-time activist, or sometimes I call myself a born-again citizen, because during the Iraq War, especially after the Abu Ghraib photos came out, I had a real awakening and realized, like, this war is just not going to stop by itself. I really needed to get involved. And so I decided I'm going to devote myself one way or another exclusively to changing the course of our country. So it was about 2004 and 5 when I became a full-time activist, and it's become my mission in life to create a kind of bottom-up democratic process and try to empower and engage citizens in our governance.
Well, thank you for everything that you're doing, and we need more people like you. And we all need to get together and do more, even those of us who are working 110% on activism. We can, like, eke out a little bit more because there's so much work to do, and it's a struggle. So I want to get to Healthy Campaign, but I'm kind of curious about all the other work that you've done. So can you talk a little bit about the films that you've made, 9500 Liberty and Story of America? I'm just kind of curious about them.
Yeah, 9500 Liberty is a film about what happened in Virginia, Northern Virginia, Prince William County, when the Republicans decided to push for an anti-immigrant local ordinance to try to drive out immigrants from the county. So it's basically the template that became SB 1070 in Arizona. Like, show me your papers, basically, policy. And it did drive out immigrants from the county, and their economy dropped, and it was at the beginning of the recession and the housing crisis, but they made things much worse. And so we documented this whole process, including the reveal that Democratic strategists at the national level engineered a kind of AstroTurf movement in the county to basically scare and disinform people about immigrants in their county. And so it's really a repeat of what right now is a repeat of what we saw back in Virginia in 2007. There's a lot of scaremongering, scapegoating, disinformation around immigrants and not really facing the reality that there were a lot of economic decisions that were made that are making people struggle, you know? And so it's that's basically the documentary. We started it as a YouTube channel. We made it into a feature film. And I just see all of this, like filmmaking, food, all of this as a way to find a route to engaging people. You know, that's because that is really ultimately my passion is getting people engaged.
Great. And Story of America?
That's the connection. Yeah, Story of America is about why we're so divided as a country. I started it as a very personal journey. And again, we made a lot of short little video clips along the way. I spent a lot of time in the South. And one of the things I discovered was that historical revisionism was really at the foundation of our divide. So we have a narrative divide in our country that where we have two very distinct, more than two, but two clear stories about how our country came to be the way it is. One that really acknowledges the harm of slavery and the role of Jim Crow laws and institutional racism. And the other that really evades the harm done to African Americans by slavery and Reconstruction, Jim Crow. And so there are two very distinct stories that can't be reconciled easily. It's also just my discovery of talking to all these Confederate Americans who were at the time when I started were Tea Party people who are now mostly Trump supporters. So I've had many, many hours of conversations with them about how they see things. And it was a very interesting challenge and patience. But I've learned so much, and I feel like my relationship to conservatives have changed. I've become much more understanding of where they're coming from and less kind of punishing and angry at them. Because when I started, I was just so horrified by the Tea Party. So I'm still working on finishing the feature film, but you can see a lot of short videos that we made on the Story of America YouTube channel and Facebook page.
Fabulous. So through all of this work, have you come up with a strategy or are you developing a strategy maybe to swing some of these people that you're understanding better, more towards what you believe in?
I do. I mean, what I think is ultimately people are feeling scared. Insecure,
it's fear. Definitely fear.
Lonely, isolated. And they're seeking a kind of soulful nourishment. They want to have a sense of connection and self-esteem. And it's very hard for them to get in kind of the mainstream culture, right? Because unless you're famous, unless you're rich, you feel like a loser, you know? And unless you're in a particularly strong community, you feel alone. And I think we really need to address some of these things that are deeper than your political label, right? I feel that we need to go there. And that, again, this is why food is really important and why Healthy Campaign is so important, is because food is such an incredible way to create community, right? It tells people, we care about you. And so I really believe, and this is why I started the coffee party too, because I believe in the strength of getting together over coffee. But with Healthy Campaign, it's about getting together over meals and nourishing each other and building a more perfect union together.
Okay, let's talk about Healthy Campaign. So begin with the website is healthycampaign.org.
Mm-hmm.
And how did it get started? What are you doing? How do we get involved?
Well, I mean, the goal of Healthy Campaign is to show people that you can eat healthy and be healthy while doing this thing that seems Herculean, volunteering for campaigns, organizing, working on campaigns, running for office, things that seem to just take everything out of us. And so then right now the norm is you just grab anything to eat, like you grab pizza, you grab donuts. But really, it's so important in the long run that we stay healthy. And even just to win the election, we have to stay healthy. We see candidates getting sick, staff people getting sick, volunteers getting burnt out. And so if we take a step back, instead of grabbing for immediate gratification, we need to understand how our bodies work and that we've got to nourish ourselves. And so we give people tools for how to do that, quick recipes, and tools like the Instant Pot and Vitamix that can help us eat nourishing food on the go while we work. I don't know if you use Instant Pot, Karen, but it's been a lifesaver for me because I just plug it in, throw stuff in, I work, and then 30 minutes later, I have a beautiful meal. And it's kind of
I know many people swear by the Instant Pot, and we've talked about it a lot on this program. I am not someone who has one. I'm happy in the kitchen, and I'm very efficient, and I don't feel a need for it. Maybe that'll change at some point, but I'm glad a lot of people have found a way to the kitchen to make healthy food with it.
Yeah, no, so it's been great for me because I'm not like you. Like, I'm not that efficient in the kitchen, so I avoid cooking. And so it's been a great way to have healthy meals without feeling like I have to spend all this time preparing. And so there are tools like that. Margie, who's our visionary, created a toolkit that's brilliant, that people can download, and you can go through how to plan your meals, what are some pantry items that we should always have so you were not worried about going to the grocery store every time we want to cook. And it's a brilliant way to just get organized, because a lot of cooking, as you know, is about being organized and planning, right? So that we're not just grabbing the easiest thing, which is like a breakfast bar or a cereal, but we're actually eating an oatmeal with bananas, or I like savory oatmeal, so I throw in spinach and peppers and onions.
Ultimately it's less expensive than living on bars.
Oh gosh, absolutely. So I have saved tons of money eating this way, because I don't go out to eat that much occasionally. And also, I just feel so much better. I just have more energy. And I've lost, 12 pounds since April.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Good for you.
But you've lost good pounds.
It's not like you're wasting away. You're feeding your immune system. Yeah. You're feeding your mind. You've got energy, I'm assuming. And mm-hmm. you're also slimming down.
Yeah. And it's empowering. And that is what I want to convey to all your listeners, is that it's so easy to feel demoralized and fatigued right now. And eating and cooking and eating together is such a good way to get energy and to feel healthy and feel connected. So it just, for me, hits all those things. And that's why it's been so transformative, and why I'm so passionate about it, and why I think our movement needs to focus on health and eating together, eating healthy.
Now, you're talking about having an Instant Pot at your home that you use.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I remember talking to Marjorie about this concept about a year or so before she actually launched it. And part of it was to have ways to prepare food in a campaign office. Are you doing anything like that?
Yeah, in fact, we actually invested in converting a van so that inside the van we have a couple of little beds and we have a kitchen where we can actually cook. And so we just got the van. I just cooked my first meal in it a couple of days ago. And I am working in Virginia to help campaigns in Virginia. So starting this weekend, I'm going to be preparing food for volunteers and staff in the van. But we do have tips for people to just quickly plug in some things to be able to cook in the campaign. So as you know, Instant Pot is a plug-in. So all you need really is water and a way to wash up. And you have a kitchen. everyone is used to having a microwave, and an Instant Pot is next to it would be a great addition so that we people have more choices.
Okay. So the idea is you go to different campaign offices and feed people.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do, but also we're going to show people how they can do it themselves.
Oh, good.
You know, how they can, like, one of our favorite recipes is lentil tacos. And we usually use lettuce with it. You know, you can use tortillas and taco shells. But it's so easy. It's a very easy recipe. It's salsa, lentils, and water in an Instant Pot. And you cook it for 12 minutes, and you have this brilliant filling. It's really tasty. And you put it on lettuce. You can throw more salsa on top of it. Or if you have money for toppings, you can throw some tomatoes or avocados on it. And it's really delicious. And it's much better than pizza or sandwiches, and a lot less expensive. That's one example.
You know, I have an image of campaign offices, not just from movies, but from seeing them in real life. And in the early days, it was people with cigarettes and coffee cups and donuts. And it hasn't really evolved much over the decades, except maybe
cigarettes.
People aren't smoking in the offices anymore.
But every time you go into a campaign office, you're going to see Cheetos and donuts and lots of coffee. That's still true, and it's actually quite sad. I get sad when I see that. And I know that for me, every time I work hard in a campaign, I end up getting sick, and it's because we're not eating. We're not eating well. So I'm determined to change that for myself and to show people that we don't have to do this to our bodies to win. It's very counterproductive, you know, I feel like we have to show it to people, because when I try to explain it to people, they kind of roll their eyes like, oh, but it's so much work. I can't do that. I'm too busy. So I think we have to show people, look, this is how it's done. It took me 12 minutes to make this.
Okay, so this would be great for people all around the country to do something like this.
Absolutely. Thank you, Karen.
Well, I want everybody to eat healthfully, not just during campaigns, but for everything. But I think we'd see a lot more positive action if people took care of themselves while helping out on a campaign. I know how exhausting it can be and how unhealthy it is.
Yeah.
And there could be side effects.
Mm-hmm.
As a result, where people get educated about nutrition, and then they learn how to include more positive policy, or want to promote positive policy for better nutrition. Because part of the problem is our politicians aren't educated about nutrition. They have an ear to lobbyists who tell them one thing or another. But if they knew more about how important it was to feed us all and how inexpensive it could be, we'd get better policy.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. I think we have to start connecting these dots, you know, and I have seen people who advocate for health care, you know, eat really poorly, right? And I think that, you know, part of it involves just like showing people that there is a connection also between our policies and how we live our lives. And so I am a big believer in it. And it's been a recent thing. I've always eaten fairly healthy. But I became addicted to eating mostly plant-based food since I met Margie, and to cook for myself. And so I owe so much to her. I really do. I feel like a different person in some ways. I just feel more positive. I don't feel so prone to getting down and depressed. I just feel physically stronger. And then that alters kind of how I filter everything when I personally feel physically stronger and to value myself. It is part of self-care. I value my own health. And instead of feeling like I have to sacrifice myself at the altar of progress, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take care of myself and take care of the people I love and people I work with.
That's wonderful to hear. I love the individual stories when people start to eat more plants and eat healthier food and how they feel better. And we should all feel good. And when I think about volunteers, just volunteers in general, either for a political campaign or for other things, there are so many things you can volunteer for. But many volunteers experience burnout and exhaustion.
Yes.
And part of it is from not eating well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And not taking care of ourselves. And how can we help anyone else if we're not taking care of ourselves? That's what, being selfish is a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I have personal friends who dropped out of the movement because they felt burnt out. Well, they felt poor and they felt burnt out. They thought this is just not working. And that's one of the reasons why I've been friends with Margie for a long time, but since I connected with Margie about Healthy Campaign, I heard the clarion call very loudly because my friends were dropping out. Mm. And it's so bad for our movement when talented people with years of experience start dropping out. This is not sustainable.
Well, I love food. I talk about food all the time. It's my favorite subject. This show is called It's All About Food. But you mentioned an important part, and that is the community around food. And when we're working together on a campaign or anything, we should all break bread together, whether it's bread or gluten-free bread or not bread at all. Just having food together is really an important thing, especially to heal the loneliness that so many people feel. And even if you lose or you feel like you're losing ground on a particular issue or something, you have each other
to
hold you up and keep you going and know that next time will be better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that loneliness is so harmful. It just is. And I think loneliness is an epidemic. I mean, we call it depression, but really I think it's loneliness, so much of it. And it's damaged our culture, and it's definitely damaging our movement. I think we have to recognize that and to know that there are remedies for that. Togetherness is a remedy for that. And eating together is, to me, And I know that you agree with me, is like such a direct way to build that connection. You may not agree on anything at all, but when you eat together and you nourish each other, it develops a bond, it develops trust. And I think that is the quickest way to start to address loneliness. I don't know. Am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy.
True to me.
Don't. No, you're not. I'm looking at the healthycampaign.org website, and you have a resources section. I'm looking at the cartoon, which is really wonderful. Mm-hmm. Do you know who put that cartoon together?
Yes, his name is Tom, I think it's Cockley. I worked with him, but I am blanking out on the name. I think it's Cockley. And he works with Margie. They are friends. He's Baltimore-based. He worked very closely with us, was very patient with all our requests. But he's a wonderful cartoonist. He's working on other things for us. And, yeah, I think, we wanted to figure out ways to really tell the story of what is happening in our campaigns and how different it could be just with simple change in how we eat.
Right. So if any of you out there are involved in any political campaigning, you might want to go over to healthycampaign.org, and if you go under the resources section, you can see the cartoon, which is fun and informative, but there's also a 20-page toolkit, and that's a great way to get you started on getting
it's
a healthy
really
campaign kitchen.
Yeah, the toolkit is really comprehensive, and it's being used in some campaign trainings now, which is brilliant. So I highly recommend it, and everything is free. We're doing this because we are movement people, and we want to get these resources out to people. And it's not just for people who work on campaigns, even though we are prioritizing them because we're also progressives. but it's for anybody. Anybody. We would like everyone to eat healthy. The America would be better if everyone ate, you know, ate well. So that's why it's everything is there on the website, and we're going to keep building on it as we go, as we learn to figure out how to get the message out effectively.
I'm looking at some of the recipes, and they all look really good and simple.
Very simple, yeah. Yeah. Another favorite recipe of mine is chia pudding. It's just chia seeds and milk of your choice. I use cashew milk. Yeah, and you throw in some raisins to sweeten it, and it really is a great pudding.
And so good for you to get those
so
omega-3 fatty acids that so many people need and are not getting enough of.
Yeah, and you can have it for breakfast. You can have it as dessert or snack. I always have a bowl full in the refrigerator. So
you don't have to cook it. You just have to soak it.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So that's another favorite of mine. But there are other recipes. I highly recommend people check it out and just, you know, try them.
Right. And it's all free. Thank you for that.
Yes. Huh. Margie is very passionate about, you know, making these changes in how we eat and ultimately the food industry. You know, if we start to change how we eat, the food industry will change. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Now, I know you're, as you mentioned before, you're passionate about other issues like immigrant rights and social justice and democratic reform. And food is a big issue kind of embedded in those issues. I don't know. Can we talk about that a little bit?
Sure. I mean, I think food touches so many issues. It touches everything. It touches climate change. You know, it touches immigration. It touches income inequality. And I mean, it just touches everything. But for me, you know, the fact that we are punishing immigrants who actually, you know, are our farmers. You know, they do the picking. They do the hard work. And we're driving them out of our country is devastating to me. And that's going to have economic impact as well. If food prices are going to go up as a result of driving immigrants out and making it more difficult for farmers to farm, making it more costly for them to farm. So it's also connected to me. Climate change is, again, you know, direct connection to food. I mean, you know, I don't see how we're going to have sustainability unless we make these changes in our diet and to demand food without chemicals. You know, it's about sustainability, our health and health of our planet. It's so connected. And what do you think, Karen?
I think that I'm really glad that you've made this personal discovery yourself, because you'll be a much more convincing advocate now that you've seen the results yourself of what healthy food can do for you.
Yeah.
With that, we can, unless you want to add any more about Healthy Campaign or any other work you do.
Yeah, I would love for people to get in touch with us. We have a Facebook page.
Oh, right, the Facebook page.
Yeah, and a Facebook group. And we would love to create a community around Healthy Campaign. So it's not for people who are necessarily just believers, but people who want to learn, or people who have questions, people who have ideas. It just needs to be a conversation. Because it's not going to happen overnight, and there's a lot of barriers to making these changes. So, yeah, get in touch with us. We would love to hear from you. And thank you so much for everything you do, Karen, and having me on. This is such an honor.
Thank you, Annabelle, and thank you for everything that you're doing. I'm going to check out some of your links that you gave me in your bio, because I'm kind of curious and fascinated by them. And, again, thank you for all that you're doing, and stay healthy. Please.
You too. Thank you so much. Take care.
Okay, say hello to Marjorie for me.
Oh, will do. Okay, bye.
Yes, okay. That was Annabelle Park, and she is involved with the new Healthy Campaign at healthycampaign.org. I like the tagline, which I'm trying to pull it up here. Oh, how silly am I? I wanted to say it. It's like eat real food and change the world. I believe it is. And there's a lot of other great information up there at healthycampaign.org. So volunteer, get involved with local politicians and find a way to feed the staffers and volunteers in a healthy way, and we'll all benefit from that. Okay, so you're listening to It's All About Food. I'm Karen Hartglass. You know that, right? And my world is at responsibleeatingandliving.com, and you can email me at info@realmeals.org. So what happens at responsibleeatingandliving.com? Lots of things. And one that I want to jump into is my daily blog, What Vegans Eat. So the last week was particularly fun and different because I had to go back to the Bay Area. You know, my partner Gary and I are there quite a lot, but we had to go to a funeral. That wasn't the fun part. But we had a week to just relax and explore after that, because normally we go there and we're working 24/7. So it was a fabulous week for weather, and we took advantage of that. I wanted to talk about some of the places that we went to and the food that we ate, and I hope that you'll have a chance at some point to experience some of these foods. Okay, so to start with, I'm looking at the different pictures. Where do I want to start? Oh, yes. Yeah. So Loving Hut. Do you know about Loving Hut? It's a chain, and they have a bunch of different stores or restaurants in California. We had one here once in New York. I'm not sure if it's still around. It's part of an organization that has a leader called the Supreme Master Shanghai, I believe it is. And some would say it's kind of cultish. And whatever it is, it doesn't bother me because the principles that they promote are all good. They are compassionate. They believe in compassion and kindness. And they have lots of vegan restaurants with great food. And there's nothing wrong with that. And one of our favorites that's related is the vegetarian house that we go to in San Jose all the time. But when we can't go there, there's a mall in San Jose that has a Loving Hut there. And I'm just always thrilled to go there because it's in a mall, like I said, and the Valley Fair Mall, for any of you that are curious. And they just have big signs that say, vegan cuisine. I get off on that. I love big signs that say vegan, and I'm seeing more of them. I was a little disappointed, though. I have to say, we usually get the pho, or the pho, however you pronounce it, P-H-O, the big noodle soup, which typically has tofu and veggie meats and rice noodles, mushrooms and bean sprouts and onions and cilantro. It's in a nice broth. I find it very comforting and yummy. It was missing the vegan meat this time. I don't know where it went, but we missed it. We'll have to try it again. I'm sure there was a good reason for it. And then, where are some other fun places we went to? This was really fun. Have you heard of the Vegan Picnic in San Francisco on Union Street? It's a little shop, and we had come across it on one of our last trips to San Francisco, but we didn't stop in. But last week we did. And what was especially fun, I don't know if they do this all the time or if we were just lucky, but we walked in and the server, she kept giving us samples as we were trying to decide what to eat. So the theme, obviously, is vegan picnic. So all the food is picnic food. And it's you get your burgers or your sandwiches, whatever, and they're wrapped like you would be going to a picnic. And she gave us first to sample a meatball in tomato sauce. That was really fantastic. I don't know how picnicky meatballs are, but I don't care. It was really good. And then we got to sample the egg salad and the macaroni salad. And what else was there? Egg salad, macaroni salad. There was one other little salad. Oh, coleslaw. And they were all really nice. And of course, they're vegan. This is the vegan picnic. And they have all kinds of fun sandwiches there. Lots of faux meats and things. And they have treats. They have croissant, which I tried, and it actually was pretty good. And brownies. It's just a fun place, and I think you could bring anyone there. They don't have to be vegan, but it can introduce people into the world of veganism and how much fun it is and how there's no deprivation. That's the message. And then moving on, I like baked tofu. Baked tofu is a great travel food. You know, when we're going on a trip, a lot of times Gary will make some baked tofu and we'll bring it along because you should refrigerate it, but it stays pretty well for hours, not refrigerated, and it travels really nicely because it's solid. But my problem is that most brands of baked tofu in the store are very salty. And they're a great substitute for cheese because cheese can be very salty. So for those of you who love cheese and that salty, fatty flavor, baked tofu can be a decent substitute. But I found a baked tofu that didn't have any salt in it. And this was fun. It's a garlic pepper tofu by Tofu U. That's tofu, T-O-F-U-Y-U. So when we're not at home, where we could make our own kind of baked tofu and season it and flavor it the way we want to, there are more brands out there that you can grab. And it was a great quick little snack that I needed, but then when I didn't finish it, I was able to crumble it the next day like a cheese on salad. Really tasty with garlic and black pepper flavors. Are you hungry? I'm trying to make you hungry. The next place we went to, so I'm telling you about San Francisco, then Santa Cruz, we picked that baked tofu up in the Staff of Life, which is one of my favorite grocery stores. Back in the day when it started, I believe it was a meat-free store, and unfortunately they've since added meat to their shelves, but it's still a great store for produce and lots of vegan food. And then I went up to Palo Alto. There is a restaurant there called True Food Kitchen. And this is a chain. There are a bunch of others, and I don't think they're just in California, so you might look for them elsewhere. True Food Kitchen, I believe Andrew Weil, is one of the founders of True Food Kitchen. It's not a completely vegan restaurant. It's a place where you can bring everyone, your omnivore friends, or if you yourself are just transitioning. But a lot of the food is organic. It's very healthy, very fresh, very creative. And I was so surprised when we were there because we ordered a variety of different meals. I brought my friend there for her birthday. And I told the server a bunch of times it was her birthday. I wasn't telling him because I wanted him to do something. We were just celebrating. The server was very friendly. He actually told us that his parents were vegan, which was fun. But then when we finished our main dishes, he brought out dessert. And when I saw it, it was a pie piled with whipped cream and a candle, and I kind of panicked because I thought, here it is, we've had this nice rapport and he's bringing us a dessert, which is really sweet, but it's not going to be vegan, right? Wrong. This was vegan. It was amazing. It was a really nice squash pie, and it was piled up with coconut whipped cream. This is crazy. This is 2019. When I see places like this, I have hope. I have hope for the planet. So if you have a chance and you're in the Bay Area, I really recommend True Food Kitchen in Palo Alto. And it's for everyone. And then we got back to San Francisco another day to meet some friends. And we went to a place I've mentioned before, Chaya. Chaya. It's a traditional Japanese restaurant, and it's all vegan. And you may remember when I talked to Gessen Claire, what was her last name? We were talking about her time in Japan as a nun and preparing Japanese foods, and I kept thinking of this restaurant, kept craving this restaurant when I was reading her book. But the foods are beautifully prepared. There's lots of variety and wholesome and comforting. We got these big brothy bowls with nice vegetables, and I splurged a little bit. I usually don't eat fried food. Why? Fried food isn't healthy. But the other reason is that in most restaurants, food that's deep fried, even if they say it's vegan, is often fried in oil that other foods have been fried in that are not vegan. And then you get the residual residue. Some people may not mind, but I don't want it. And that's one of the reasons why I don't like to eat fried food, other than it's not healthy. So we were here at this lovely place, and they had a number of different fried foods, like a fried tofu, and they had a maki, you know, a vegetable roll that you often see, a sushi roll, nori filled with vegetables, and then rice either on the inside or the outside, depending on how it's rolled. Well, they had one that was deep fried. And I thought, I have to try this because I know that the oil is just oil and it doesn't have any animal residue in it. So we took advantage of that, and it was really fine. We also walked along Union Street in San Francisco. And you may remember me telling you that my partner Gary has a play that he's working on called Bad Hemingway by the Bay. And when he wrote it, it's based on a man living in San Francisco in the 80s. And a lot of the locations that he talks about in the play are near Union Street in the area called Cow Hollow. So we walked along that street in that area to kind of remember the places that he wrote about in the play, since we're still working on it. And we came across this one restaurant that used to be called Prego. And it's changed hands many times since the 80s, but Gary wanted to show me the building, and it looked really lovely on the outside. And as we were looking at it, we realized it's now a vegan restaurant called Wild Seed. We didn't get to try it, but the menu looks really nice, and it just looks like a very fine restaurant. So if you have a chance, go to Wild Seed and let me know what you think, because I didn't get to try it when I was there. Couple more places I wanted to mention. We sometimes go to the Crepes Bistro in Santa Clara, California, and we usually get crepes, obviously. It's a great place for vegan and vegetarian food. It's a vegetarian restaurant, many vegan options. I recommend the buckwheat crepe over the other crepe. They're both vegan. I find the buckwheat crepe is more flavorful. I think the other crepe might be chickpea flour, garbanzo bean flour based. Anyway, I always get the crepe because it's a crepe place, but they have other great things on the menu, and this time I tried them. I got a wonderful tofu scramble, and it came with super salad, and I chose the soup, which was a borscht. How many people like borscht? I never think about borscht. Borscht is made from beets. And beets are such a healthy, wonderful food. And borscht is, I just love it. And I never make it. So I guess I have to make it. They had it served with vegan sour cream. Borscht typically might have some potatoes in it, might be garnished with some green onions. And the sour cream is kind of important too. And it was really fantastic. The same day, we went to Los Gatos, California. And we often walk around there. They have this trail that we like to walk on called the Los Gatos Creek Trail. And we never walk the full trail. It's pretty long and big. But there's a part we like, which is very vigorous because it goes up a steep hill. And when you get to the top, you see the reservoir, and it's really, really lovely. But in the downtown area by the trail, the downtown area of Los Gatos, there's a number of different restaurants. And we, when we're there and we wonder where are we going to go, there aren't many options for us. And we were there. It was our last night before leaving the next day. And we kind of wanted to just relax and have a nice evening. Where are we going to go? And there's a place called Blue Line Pizza. They make vegan pizza. I really didn't want pizza. And there's another, we've been there many times. They make Mexican food and they have vegan options. But I'm a little uncomfortable there because one of the last times I was there, they accidentally put some flesh in my salad twice. So I'm a little nervous there. Anyway, we passed this place called The Palms, and it's a big, beautiful building. I was told it used to be a mortuary, but it looks like a very big mansion. It's now a restaurant, and they have a big yard in front, and they had many outdoor tables. Some of them were on a flat patio, and some of the other tables were just on the grass. So it was just like you were sitting outside on the lawn with your straw chairs and simple little tables. And we decided to check out their menu, and they had three, not one, not two, but three vegan menu items and a vegan appetizer. And we went there and sat for a long while in the beautiful weather and ate outdoors and had a lovely vegan meal. So there's another place, if you're in that area, you might want to consider. And last but not least is Dharma's. And Dharma's is out in Capitola, which is near Santa Cruz. And it's been around, I don't know when it got started, maybe 35 years ago or so. It was called Mick Dharma's when it first opened, Mick Dharma's. And believe it or not, this little tiny groovy restaurant was forced to change their name by a bigger company called McDonald's, because McDonald's owns the Mick. And ever since, they called themselves Dharma's. But I think Dharma's is a better name than Mick Dharma's, actually. I mean, why do they need to have that tainted Mick in their name? And they've been around for a long time, and we like to go there too. I usually get this wonderful salad that they make with fresh sunflower sprouts. It's not very often you get salad served with sunflower sprouts, and I'm always meaning to grow them at home because they're very hard to find, and they're very delicious. They're also hard to sprout, but I have a sprouter that can sprout them pretty well. But they have them there. And that's what I usually get, except I didn't get them this time. I got the stack of pancakes. They have a cornmeal stack of pancakes that's vegan, and it was really, really fine. So there's lots of fun places in the Bay Area that we got to try out, and I hope you visit What Vegans Eat, my daily blog. You can see all of the beautiful pictures. So another thing I wanted to talk about, can we talk about pillows? What kind of pillows do you like? Pillows are really important. I know some people don't even sleep on pillows, but most of us do. And I've been on this path of trying to use natural materials in my home all around me. And the bed is an important place because we spend a third of our life in bed, or at least we should be. We should get about 8 hours of sleep, and there's 24 hours in the day. That equals a third of the day, right? And so I like to use all cotton sheets. I splurged a few years ago and got a mattress by Sattva, I think the company name is, and it's not entirely organic, but there's a lot of organic material, especially in the top, and it's all plant-based. But then there's the pillow. And you can have, certainly I'm not going to use feathers in my pillow. That's not vegan, and it's not nice. And there are many synthetic pillows out there that may seem very comfortable, but I don't like the idea of lying on plastic for a third of my life. So some time ago, I got into buckwheat hulls. And I'm talking about it because this show is called It's All About Food. And I have food in my pillow as a filling. Actually, you don't eat buckwheat hulls, but inside the buckwheat hulls are the buckwheat pseudograins that are delicious and good to eat. And then the leftover are the hulls. And I love the idea of using this material as a filling. So I first got introduced to buckwheat hulls. I'm going to guess, I'm not sure of this, but I think it was at the PETA Millennium Gala in the year 2000, which was the most amazing vegan event ever. It was expensive. It was around $300 and $350 to attend, which was a lot of money back then. And I flew there, and it was the most amazing party. Have you ever heard of the PETA Millennium Gala? It was on the set of New York Street with one of the movie studios. Anyway, Paramount Studios. It was New York Street, and there were a lot of great bands, including Paul McCartney, who played. It was an amazing event. And there were different exhibitors all around, and one of them was selling these cool little neck pillows that you take on airplanes, only they were filled with buckwheat hulls. And the reason why I'm bringing it up is because I've had this pillow now for almost 20 years, and I just decided to unzip the organic cotton cover and unzip the inside cover and clean them. And I took out the hulls and saved them, and I washed everything. And it just came out wonderful, and then I restuffed it. So I have this buckwheat hull neck pillow, and I've had it a long time. And that inspired me, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. I don't know how long I've had them, but I now sleep on buckwheat pillows. Now, I love them. I know a lot of people have tried them and don't like them. One of the things that I like about them is, well, they're natural, and they're breathable. I find I don't get hot and sweaty, anything like that, because they're so breathable. But they're noisy. And what's funny is humans have a way of getting used to things where we get desensitized, either sound, smell, visual things that we see all the time. And I'm trying to make an effort to be aware of the things that I've kind of got desensitized to. And one of them is the noise from my buckwheat hull pillows, because it's noisy moving around. I mean, once you've settled in and gotten it to a position that you like, it's quiet. But when you move around, it's crunchy sounding, but I don't really notice it anymore because I'm used to it. And the same thing is true when you walk into a place that has a certain smell. You might notice it right away, but you get used to it and then you don't notice it. And I was thinking of this, too, when I was traveling. I was in Costa Rica a few weeks ago, and I kept thinking, what is it that makes me notice things more here and either like them or not like them than in my own hometown? And it's just because it's different. And that's kind of been fascinating to me. Anyway, so I like buckwheat hull pillows. I don't know if you've ever tried them. I'm not recommending them because some people don't like them, but I like them. So if you're curious about them and you want to know more, you can ask me some questions at info@realmeals.org. I like using food materials to make the things that I use that I'm not going to eat. I think Oh, I just have 2 minutes left. Oh my goodness, how quickly did that happen? Okay, before I go, I just wanted to mention something called the Cool Food Pledge. Have you heard of it? It's kind of a cool sounding thing, and it's for organizations to commit to a science-based target to reduce the climate impact of the food served. So it's like for restaurants and schools. I just noticed that Harvard University signed up for the Cool Food Pledge, and I'm thinking of reaching out to my alma mater and seeing if they would consider to do this. It gives a plan and a target. So if you are affiliated with an organization or a restaurant or somebody that makes a lot of meals, I think it's they have a number of how many meals you have to put out in order to be a part of it. Oh, I don't know if there's a thing, but it's an odd group that have signed on to this Cool Food Pledge. And I thought you might want to check it out. It's an initiative of the World Resources Institute, the UN Environment, Carbon Neutral Cities Alliance, Healthcare Without Harm, Practice Green Health, Climate Focus, EAT, and the Sustainable Restaurant Association, the Cool Food Pledge.org. And with that, I'm going to say thank you so much for joining me today on It's All About Food. We learned about the healthycampaign.org. And please visit me at responsibleeatingandliving.com. That's where I live. And have a delicious week. Bye-bye.